How do I get it in my heart? I got to read it. I got to study it to get it in. How do you get anything into your heart? We talk about, have you ever heard somebody say, I know that by heart? How do you know something by heart? You spend a lot of time with it. How many of you know certain maybe baseball players, football players, or something just by number? If you talk about a team and you mention a number on the team, you can just say that I know the player. How do you know that? You know it by heart. You've spent some time with that team. When you spend some time with the Bible, where does it end up? It ends up in your heart. That's where the Bible needs to be. So what does the Bible do for me when I get it into my heart? It's on the screen. It's like open book test here, okay? What does the Bible do for me when I get it into my heart? What'd you say, Trish? It projects outward. Okay, so is the Bible a lamp to my feet and a light to my path? How do I know what I'm supposed to do in this life? How do I know what direction I'm supposed to go? Sometimes we sit around and we're like, God, please tell me what I'm supposed to do. And God's like, right there, 66 books of them. And so the Bible is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. And so I need to get into it and I need to study it. I need to study to show myself what? I got to get into the Bible to do that. All right, so that's what Soldiers of Christ is all about. Soldiers of Christ is about helping us to get the Bible inside of us so that we can not sin, so that we can be led by the Bible, so that we can understand what God wants us to do, so that we can be approved in His sight. That's what Soldiers of Christ, that's what this is all about. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about John the Baptist tonight, okay? We talked a little bit about John the Baptist in weeks earlier in the year, but we're going to progress into some new territory hopefully tonight, but I want to spend some time talking about John the Baptist. Is he a key Bible character? Yes. We don't talk about him very often, okay? But why is he a key Bible character? What was his job? The forerunner of Jesus. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a forerunner of Jesus? He prepared the way. Caleb? What does it mean to be a forerunner? Caleb, have you ever... Is that me? Caleb, have you ever been to like a baseball game, a football game? You ever been to a game anywhere? Say it again. You play baseball? On a team. Ooh, cool. Okay, so when you show up, you like go to an actual like baseball field, right? All right, so when you show up, Did you unlock the gate when you got there to let everybody in? You don't unlock the gate? Are you serious? Do you turn the lights on? I mean, do you turn on the scoreboard and you unlock so that they can get in and keep score? Did you do that?
I don't even do that.
So you don't even do that. Okay. Do you get the teams out on the field? So you don't do that. Well, wait. So who's done all of that then? Oh, somebody else took care of unlocking the gate. Somebody else took care of turning on all the lights. Well, we don't call them this, but that's a forerunner. Somebody was there before you. Did you unlock the front doors, by the way? When the church door, Caleb, did you unlock those doors out there? Did you turn these lights on? Caleb, you're not helping me here because you didn't unlock those doors. You didn't turn on these lights. So when you got here, the doors are unlocked and the lights are on. Who did that? I don't know either. A forerunner did that. What does that mean? Somebody took care of everything so that when you walked in, you're like, oh, look at this. I'm just walking right in and everything's ready for me. That's what John the Baptist did for Jesus. I'm not saying he unlocked the gate and he turned on the lights, but that's what he did. He got the people ready so that they could just walk right in and say, oh, this is Jesus. This is who we've been waiting for. He prepared the way for him. Is that important? Now, was everybody ready for Jesus and they accepted Jesus? Oh, great. All right. This is the one we've been waiting for. Unfortunately, no. But John had an important job to get everybody ready for Jesus to be there. Now, what Old Testament prophet did Malachi say that John the Baptist was going to be like? Open book test. He's going to be like Elijah. And so when John the Baptist comes along, he's compared to being Elijah, but his work is to open up the gate, to turn on the light, to prepare the way for Jesus so that everybody is ready for Jesus to be there. Now, where did John the Baptist do his preaching? Did he preach in the city? He did not preach in the city. Where did he preach? The wilderness of Judea. Where is that? Where's the wilderness of Judea? You got a Bible map? Do you remember what the Jews did? You remember what the Jews did if they were going to travel from down here in Judea up to Galilee in the north? Remember what they did? They wouldn't travel in a straight line, would they? What'd they do? Oh, we want to go up there, so we're going to go way over here and then go up and then come way back over. Guess where they traveled in order to get way over here? They had to travel through the wilderness of Judea to get through Jericho, to get on the other side of the Jordan. And so this, where John is preaching, is a well-traveled area. So don't think of it like he's out in the middle of nowhere and nobody's there. Now, for some preachers, that's the best place for them to be, is out in the middle of nowhere and nobody's there. Maybe that's where some guys would do some really good preaching. But that's not the reason John's out there. It is a well-traveled area. But did the Bible, what were the people doing? Where is it up here? The impact of John's message. What was John's message, by the way? What's the first word in John's message? Open book test. First word in his message is repent. Is that a popular sermon to preach? Is that what people want to hear? What does it mean to repent? You've got to turn. You've got to change. Is that what people want to hear? People are going in one direction and John the Baptist comes along and says, you've got to change. Is that really easy? Once you get set in your ways, is it easy to change? No, it's not. What if I'm set in my ways of doing what's wrong and John the Baptist comes along and tells me what you're doing is wrong? Is it easy to just say, oh, okay, well, I'll just stop doing that? But what was the response? You see it from Matthew chapter 3. Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region around the Jordan went out and were baptized by John. He's being effective. Why was he baptizing people? Why was he baptizing people? For the remission of sins. Look down at the bottom of the screen. We chose some key locations. I don't remember how many there are, but on the cards, there are some key locations. And this is one of those key locations. If you get into a discussion with somebody about the purpose of baptism, sometimes it's helpful to know, where does the Bible teach that the purpose of John's baptism was for the remission of sins? Mark chapter 1, verse 4. You don't have to have the verse memorized, but just be able to know where it is. Why is that important? Why do you think that's important to know? What's the purpose of our baptism? For the remission of sins. Was that a new purpose? It was the same purpose that John's baptism had. Where did John get the idea to baptize people? I mean, was he just like sitting there drinking some coffee one day the white stuff you pour in there? The creamer. So he pours the creamer into his coffee. Did it like make a little sign of baptism? He's like, oh, I think that's what I'll do. Is that how he got the idea of being baptized? I mean, did he make a piece of toast? Did you see that piece of toast that looked like, what was it, Jesus? The piece of toast looked like? I mean, wow, look at that. Piece of toast that looks like Jesus. I mean, is that what he did? He made a piece of toast one day and he looked like somebody was being baptized. He's like, hey, that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Where did he get the idea to baptize people? He got that idea from God. Remember what Jesus asked when the people came and tried to trick him? And Jesus asked them, okay, baptism of John, where is it from? Jesus gave them two options. Remember what those options were? Baptism of John, where is it from? Lucas, I want to ask you a question. Baptism of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is going to go out and baptize people. And so Jesus asked a question. Is the baptism of John from heaven or is the baptism of John from men? And so which of those should they have said? Was the baptism of John from heaven, or was the baptism of John from men? What's the right answer? See, you already know. There were guys back in the New Testament, they didn't know that. Jesus, or John the Baptist, got the idea to baptize people because God told him to do it. Now, why was he baptizing them? What was the purpose of it? For the remission of sins, so that their sins could be taken away. He's called John the Baptist. Do you know there are people who believe that he's called John the Baptist because he started the Baptist church? They honestly believe that he started the Baptist church. And that's why he's named John the Baptist. One difficulty with that is that it was about 1,800 years later before the Baptist church ever came along. About 1,800 years later, the Baptist church came along, 1,800 years later. So the gap there is quite a bit. But what's another name for Baptist? I'm not talking currently. I'm talking Bible terminology. What's another name for Baptist? Baptized. Is that what you said, Suzanne? A baptizer. What's he doing? He's baptizing people. What's another name? And this maybe is too technical. What's another name for baptizer? Immerser. Josh and I, What's another name for baptizer? An immerser. Caleb, I need your help. Come here. Caleb, I need your help. All right, we'll see. Caleb, I want you to do something for me. All right? You're going to look at me kind of funny, but that's okay. You always look at me kind of funny, so I'll get used to it. Do you know what it means to immerse something? Just let that roll around in your head. Do you know what it means to immerse something, like you immerse it in water? Do you know what that means? You got to put something completely inside of the water. That's what it means to immerse something. You put something completely inside of the water. I'd like you to take this card, and I would like you to immerse it in the pulpit. What do you think you're going to do with this card if you're going to immerse it in the pulpit? Go ahead. You take the card. If baptism means that you put something into the water, that's what it means to immerse. What would you do with a card if you were going to immerse it into the pulpit? Go ahead and go up there on the stage and immerse that card into the pulpit. You can go around the backside. That's all right. It's not that scary of a place. You can put it in. Go ahead and put it down. Did you put it inside the pulpit? Because that's what immersion is, right? Now, take it back out because we don't want it to drown. Okay? All right, so you put it inside and then you brought it back out because that's what baptism is. Now, why didn't you sprinkle the pulpit on top of the card?
Just that's not the right thing to do.
Ah, you're brilliant. Plus, the pulpit is very heavy, and that would have been a difficult thing to do. But immerse means you put it down into and you bring it back here. You can keep that as a souvenir, okay? Go back to your seat. So, to immerse, that's just what the word means. And so it wouldn't make sense to take the pulpit and to sprinkle it on top of the card, would it? Rather difficult to do. And so in John chapter 3 and verse 23, where is this? Next to last line. John chapter 3 and verse 23. Interesting verse. John was baptizing. John the baptizer, the immerser, was baptizing in Aenon near Salem. Now, why was he baptizing there, do you suppose? The Bible tells us. He's baptizing there because there was much water. Do you have to have much water to immerse somebody? As opposed to how much water is needed to sprinkle on someone? Not very much, is it? Isn't it interesting that the Bible solves this for us? The Bible answers this for us. It's not a difficult thing to figure out. And so who baptized Jesus? John the who? The Baptist. What's another name for Baptist? Baptizer. What's another name for baptizer? Immerser. So John the immerser baptizes Jesus. What did he do with Jesus when he baptized him? Look in John chapter 3. Or not John, Matthew chapter 3. Get your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 3. Look at what it says. It's right there in the book. All right? So Jesus comes to John. Look in verse 16, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. When Jesus had been what? Baptized. What does the word baptized mean? When he had been immersed. What did he do after he had been immersed? He came up from the water. Why didn't Caleb leave the card inside of the pulpit? Well, because we didn't want the card to drown inside the pulpit. What happens when somebody is immersed in water? What's the next step after the immersion? An emergence from the water. You've got to rise up out of the... So, would that have been necessary if baptism can be done by sprinkling or by pouring? You wouldn't come up out of the water. Go over to Acts chapter 8. What happens in Acts chapter 8? You've got a man riding along in a chariot. And as he's riding along in a chariot, he says, look, here's what? Water. What hinders me from being what? What does the word baptized mean? Immersed. Here's water. What hinders me from being immersed? This man was ready to be completely put under water. What would have convinced him to do that? How many of you were baptized in a baptistry? In a baptistry. How many of you were baptized in a baptistry? Okay. How many of you would put your hands down? How many were baptized in a swimming pool? Anybody baptized in a swimming pool? All right. Anybody baptized in the ocean? Anybody? Okay, in the ocean. All right. Anybody baptized in a body of water that's either a canal or a pond that you had never seen before? Nicole? Okay. You were giving me a look. So no. Okay. Maybe I'm missing a hand. Anybody immersed in water in a pond or a canal that you had never seen before? Eva, you were baptized in a pond or a canal and you'd never seen it before? Wow. Did you know what was in there? Probably some fish. That's a good guess. You suppose there could have been something else in there? Yeah, there could have been. What did this Ethiopian want to do in this water? Did he just want Philip to go down there and bring some back up and dribble it on his head? He was ready to be... Why would he be so ready to be immersed in water? What was the purpose of John's baptism? For the remission of sins. What was the purpose of the Ethiopian getting baptized by Jesus' baptism? For the remission of his sins. Was he going to wait until he got home in order to get immersed in some clear, clean, purified water? What would happen if something happened to him on the way home to get some clean water? So Acts chapter 8. I got sidetracked there. Acts chapter 8. He preached unto him Jesus. They went down the road, verse 36. They came to some water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And so they stopped the chariot, verse 38. And both Philip and the eunuch did what? Why'd they go down into the water? Because that's where you got to go for immersion. And Philip baptized him. And then verse 39 says what? They came up out of the water. If you ever need to show somebody what baptism is, Matthew chapter 3 and Acts chapter 8, it's as plain as can be. They went down and he baptized him. He baptized him in the water. Did he sprinkle him in the water? Where was John baptizing people? He was baptizing them in the Jordan. Was he taking the Jordan and sprinkling the Jordan on them? No, Matthew 3 says he was baptizing them in the Jordan. That's so important. And I know if you're here tonight, that's probably so basic for you. But that's so important for us to see. That it's not just some church doctrine that has been made up that says, oh, okay, well, we're going to immerse instead of sprinkling just so that that's our thing. No. We immerse because that's what the Bible says to do. John the immerser came along as a forerunner of Jesus to say, we need to get ready for Jesus to come. And he opened up the path. He turned on the lights. He unlocked the doors. He got everything ready so that people were ready for Jesus to come after him. What about us? Have we gotten into the Word of God, studied the Word of God, enjoyed the Word of God, been thankful for the Word of God, that we get to see the whole picture. We get to see everything laid out in front of us about what Jesus did for us. Next week, we're going to finish. We need to talk about John the Baptist. A couple more things about John the Baptist.